You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As always, this episode of the Spurs Show podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. The league season is entering the business end, and Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Spurs fixture for the rest of the season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. Football's best enjoyed with your mates, so if you're not at the ground this month, get a text in the group chat and head to your local Green King Sports venue to catch the game. Don't forget to download the Green King Sport app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts wherever there's a game on. Welcome to this week's episode of the Spurs Show. Well, what a wonderful week to be a Tottenham fan. The men's team, the women's team, two brilliant performances. And we'll talk about the fantastic result from the women's team later. First time in their history reaching the FA Cup, Women's FA Cup semi-final. Absolutely brilliant against the might of Manchester City. So much to cover. The Aston Villa game, we'll be looking ahead at the big game, London Derby, this weekend away to Fulham. We've got a special interview done by Russell Goldsmith, who is out with the Austin Spurs before the Villa game. We'll be playing that later as well. But firstly, just to remind everyone at home, next week, next Wednesday, is our special show with Mr. Paul Gascoigne, live from the Leicester Square Theatre. A few tickets still available, including meet and greet. Click on the link to the description to this podcast. Come along and we can finally meet some of our listeners and meet Gazza as well. And I can also announce our end of season show will be May the 23rd, back at the 100 Club. And our special guest there will be Mr. Danny Rose. So that should be the outspoken Danny Rose. So that's going to be another cracking show. Again, tickets now on sale. And who knows, end of the season, we could be celebrating our Champions League qualification. And certainly the result of the weekend has gone a long way to us having a chance of doing that. Joining me tonight, three stalwarts from the show. Firstly, the comedy writer, Brian Leveson. How are you, Brian?
I'm very well, thank you, Michael.
Can I just say behind you, beautiful garden there.
If only it was mine. It's out. It's a library photograph, Mike.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. If you could only see where I'm sitting, most exciting thing behind me is a thermostat on the wall.
Well, it fooled me. Really fooled me. I thought, wow.
When I've got clients, I need to put on a show.
Fantastic. Very, very nice. And also joining us, returning, Ali Speechley, aka Coach Ali. How are you, Ali?
Hi, Mike. I'm really good, thanks. AI strikes again, huh? With Brian's background. I've just got my boring sofa. But I am very well and very happy to be back on the show. Thank you.
And it's lovely to have you back. And also joining us, the author, Mr. Stuart Maister. How are you, Stuart?
Well, I've been introduced as an author and among us.
You are. You've written a book.
I have. I have. But with a very boring, for those that can't see it, which is everyone, blurry background, I'm afraid. Yeah. Very dull.
I want to ask why it's blurry. It's obviously you live on the set of Silence of the Lambs or something. I don't know.
Because you've been drinking. It's because you've been drinking.
Exactly. So thanks for coming on. Well, let's start the game at Villa Park. On paper, a very, very tough game. We knew if we went there, Brian, and lost, we'd be 8 points behind them. But without doubt, well, I think our best performance of the season, apart from sort of a slight early on when Watkins got behind us and Romero made an error, I thought, oh God, here we go, the high line. But that aside, we shored things up. And I thought people sort of go the first half bit, you know, I thought even the first half we played well. Second half, absolutely brilliant. What a complete away performance.
I think a lot of us have been waiting for us to get back to something like the form of before Chelsea. Chelsea, for me, was the turning point, and nothing's really gone quite right since. So we've been waiting for all the team to get back together and waiting for them to find some form as well. People like Maddison, you know, since he'd come back, Benton Kersley, since he'd come back. You know, they're a little just not quite on their best game, but I think the second half, it was interesting hearing Brendan Johnson talking about it after the game. Mm. He was saying, we pushed them into areas that they didn't want to play in, which is a piece of strategy which I don't think ever occurred to me. It's just football. you know what I mean? But clearly it made them uncomfortable. We made them play long, which I think plays into our hands when you've got somebody like Van de Ven, who's quicker than anything I've ever seen in my life. He's like electrifying. Yeah. So, I mean, I think, it was great. It was great to see us playing football so that we were finding our men. In recent weeks, I just think we've been just loose in our passing, and that sort of snap that we had at the beginning of the season was missing. But I it was certainly back for the second half.
It was brilliant. Ali, I mean, a lot of reading all the match reports, a lot of the journalists, again, really struggled to give us credit. And a lot of them were saying, oh, Aston Villa changed their tactics. Why do they change their tactics? I think they looked at Tottenham and thought, we can get behind them. They play a high line. And that's what they tried to do. And it just didn't work because we were just much, much tighter at the back. And as Brian said, the pace of Van de Ven was fantastic. Obviously, he got another little injury. We hope it's not as serious as the last one. Dragosin came in. I thought he was imperious as well. And the goal, that's the first goal, Ali. What a goal. What a move. What a cross. What a finish, volleyed finish, cushion volley finish from 6 yards. It was magnificent.
The whole movement. And I think also just to go back to your point about, are you telling me that the media struggled to compliment Tottenham Hotspur?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Imagine my shock. Let me compose myself. Danny Murphy, actually, on Match of the Day, I think it was Danny Murphy on Match of the Day last night, did focus on the high press and how effective it was.
Right,
so
okay.
In fairness to him, just give him that moment. The others wanted to focus on how it was because Villa weren't good enough. It wasn't because Spurs were better. It was because Villa weren't good enough. But yeah, the first goal was great. And I think that ball, because the ball down the wing wasn't the ball that he intended, was it? But it kind of came off anyway for Saar to latch onto it. And the cross was just delicious. Incredible. That's the exact perfect cross that you want. And Mathers actually did really well to, because it's really easy to just sky one of those over the bar.
Like he was between two defenders, so he would have seen it quite late as well.
Yeah, so he made it look easy, but he did really well to connect in a controlled way. And then we were off to a flying start. And I agree with Brian that we were well overdue a convincing win. Not just like a sort of last minute, gosh, thank God we've done it, but an actual putting three or four past the team. I didn't think it would be against Villa, but turns out it was.
Yeah, it was amazing. And Stuart, the other thing is that Postecoglou, when you look at his career, he's not one of these managers that when he's two up, that's it. And what was lovely to see, there was 10 minutes of extra time. It was lovely to see that we just kept going and got the other two goals, which now means our goal difference is now currently better than Villa's. It was just a brilliant performance. Obviously, there was the sending off. We were 2-0 up. Again, some people on social media thought, oh, it was just a trip. I mean, it just kicked his legs away. It's nowhere near the ball. And again, it was lovely to see all our bench getting up and arguing, because again, sometimes I think we're a little bit quiet on the bench in previous years. There's a real togetherness there now, isn't there, Stuart?
Well, there really is. There's just a really warm, good feeling. First of all, we've got to say that we've got to be delighted that we tonked Villa after what Cash did to Benton. Yes. Petty Cash, as I call him. So, I mean, I think after that, if we were going to, you know, really tonk anyone, then I'm delighted it's them.
Yeah.
The fact that they did this, that McGinn did this, this vicious foul again, just proved that there's some nasty. But you know what was really interesting to me was, I think we've got a really nasty streak in our team now as well, which I love. So you've not just got these fantastic central defenders who, I think, by the way, our defence is as good as any defence in the league. Our first choice defence is as good as any defence in the league. I don't think anyone's got a better five if you take the defence. But also, you know, I was looking at Brennan Johnson in the game, and I think he's obviously still developing, but there's a certain kind of niggly nastiness to him, which I think came out several times, which I think is actually a really good thing. So, yeah, and listen, when you're any football fan, but I think being a Spurs fan, we can sit here, we can analyse, we can pull things apart, which is what we're going to do, and, you know, as best we can. But really, it's really fundamentally about a feeling, isn't it? Do you feel fundamentally good? Are your emotions high? Do you feel on side with your team, with your club, or do you not? And then the rest of it is detail. And I don't think there's any question that right now, how Spurs fans feel with their team and their club and their manager, and a performance like the one at the weekend, just, you know, it's one of those highs, isn't it, for the season?
Yeah, I mean, Brian, I think the reason for that is the young players have come straight in. They've bought into the system and they're playing with a smile on their face. Absolutely. I mean, Papa Matazar is he just looks like such a lovely guy. He's 20 years old. Look at him. The way he gets around that pitch, the fact that he was the wide player and put that cross in.
But
there's none of this kind of, I can't go over the halfway line, I've done my job, I'm just going to stay here Conte style. They're just going for it. And that's, I think, why there's that connection with Spurs fans. Well, we've always been a club and certainly a supporter base that love great football and playing on the front foot. And now, at the moment, we've got a team that's doing just that.
But when Sarr, even when he arrived at Spurs in the first team, there's a way that people have of carrying themselves on the pitch that you just watch him and you think, this is a natural-born athlete. This is a guy who knows what he's doing. And I've just been so impressed with his development. That said, at halftime, I said to the guys, I said, we haven't seen Sarr. Where is he? What's he doing? And of course, the first thing he does is go and whips in that brilliant cross. So shows what I know.
Yeah. He was on the yellow card as well. He got a very unfortunate yellow card. He stumbled, caught the player, and it was given as a yellow. It's like,
It was never a yellow card. I mean, the guy, McGinn and Cash, are just a couple of thugs, really. And it's really nice to see it come back to haunt them, really. When McGinn did the foul, the look on his face went, yeah, I'm off here. You know the nice thing as well? When we're 2-0 up, there's always a thing amongst Spurs supporters that we all say, need another. And we got another. And it came from a really nice source, and I'm really pleased for Werner. You know, I think he could well turn out to be a better player than we all thought he was. I mean, he just looked like, in front of goal, he looks terrified.
But this one, he hit it first time. He just hit it.
I think that's probably right. Yeah. But I was pleased for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Ali, you know, again, looking at that defence, Romero, again, you know, not too many fouls. Van de Ven obviously was great. Destiny and Doggy as well was brilliant. And Poe, I mean, they all were. And Doggy, some of his runs, he's so strong. He's so difficult to knock off the ball, isn't he?
Yeah, I've got a soft spot for Udogi because I've got an Italian grandmother. The minute Udogi and Vicario arrived, I was just like, yes. But Udogi is just, he's he just fits into that style of play so brilliantly. And I think that's what's been really pleasing about Spurs as they bought new players in, is that, you know, Ange has been able to kind of thread that DNA immediately. Mm. And he's got the players that can play in that way. And you don't need to spend £1 billion, Chelsea, to do that. You just need to buy the players that are excited to play in that way for that manager. And that's what Ange has been able to achieve. So I think, from back to front, like the whole spine of the team, you know, they are very good players, don't get me wrong. But I just mean they weren't... Like, even Vicario, and I'm one of my friends in pre-season was really nervous about Vicario because he said he'd watched him a lot and was just like, what is this? Right. But actually, that they've, you know, Vicario and everyone, like I said, from front, from back to front, has been brilliant. And I think it's just that complete, like, team cohesion. And you just sit, they're excited to play. They want to play that football.
Yeah, definitely. And Stuart, the other thing, Hominson, to me, he's playing in that best position. He's playing right up front, right in the centre. Obviously, I think two assists. Brilliant goal. Lashed that one away as well. And, I mean, incredible that now he is our fifth joint top scorer of all times with the great Cliff Jones. 159 goals. I think third is Big Chib on 174. To have a player in the modern era, we've had Kane and now we've got Son in that top five, and that's despite Son having so many assists for Kane with that partnership. The fact that he's still banged in 159 goals is incredible, isn't it?
Well, it is, although I don't entirely agree with you that that is his best position. He's a superb finisher, isn't he? He's a brilliant technical finisher, no question about that. But if I have a, I'm going to be a bit Spurs fan about this. There's always a little caveat, isn't there? Which is, if you look at the first half, in the first half, which where it was pretty even, you had Kulusevski, who didn't have a great game in the first half, I didn't think, lobbing over a load of crosses for Son between three big Aston Villa defenders, getting nowhere. And, you know, if Richarlison had been there, or, you know, you might have been appointed, but there wasn't. I actually think Sonny cutting in from the side, he is extraordinary and can finish. And so I do think that when it comes to it, Spurs are going to need to either just say Richarlison's the man and we need a backup for Richarlison, or get a striker. And I just want to make another point here, which has been made by one or two people, which I think is we have to also kind of bear in mind. I think Villa are one of those teams that are struggling a little bit, are being affected a bit by being, they're in the Conference League, aren't they, being in Europe. And it's the second half where we stepped it up. And I think this is one of those games where, as well as being brilliant, I don't want to take anything away from the performance, but we benefited. This is one of those moments where we benefited from not being in Europe, not being in the Conference League. Mm-hmm. And Villa are a thinner, not that great, bigger squad, are in the Conference League. And I think that kind of helped us. There's a factor there that it's only 5% perhaps, but that's a lot in the Premier League, isn't it? So I'm not so, I mean, but on the point about Sonny, of course, listen, we all love him. He's a brilliant, brilliant finisher. And I'll tell you what, if he'd have had that chance that Ollie Watkins had in the first half, he'd have put that away, no question. In fact, I'm surprised Watkins didn't put it away, to be honest with you, I think. So, and that would have been a different game. But Sonny would have put that away, no problem. So, we're very lucky.
Yeah, well, it was a brilliant 3 points and really sets up the rest of the season. If the players need any more confidence about this system of play, there we are. I think that's our best away win against a sort of top four team away from home, I think, in a long, long time. Let's go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to look ahead to the Fulham game, listen from our supporters club at Austin in Texas. We're going to listen to them. We're going to talk about the women's brilliant result as well, and a few other bits and pieces. Back in a minute. And we're back from the break. Don't forget, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show. Still time to get a Spurs Show season ticket. Gets you to all our monthly events. Go to season.spursshow.net. I mean, if you sign up and come along just to the Gazza and the Danny Rose shows alone, I think you've pretty much got your money back there immediately. So go and check that out. Next week, Theo Delaney is here with Mitch Lee and Gareth Dace, who's got a brand new book called Is Gascoigne Gonna Have a Crack? Spurs in the 90s, coming out on the 22nd of April. We'll tell you all about that. And if you're on social media, follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts. Right, Ali, a few things happening with the club. We're going to talk about the bad in a minute. The good, it was announced last week on International Women's Day. It was a lovely idea, this. They finally kind of set up a women's supporter group, you know, Women from the Lane. Tell us a bit about that, because obviously you were there at the launch.
Yes, Women of the Lane, Mike.
Women of the Lane.
But don't worry, it's early days, so I forgive you. But just this once, I forgive you. So Women of the Lane. So I'm one of the co-founders, and I'm very proud to be of Women of the Lane. So obviously we've set up this official supporters association with full support from the club, really to just give the women who are fans of the men's team a voice at the club, and with a view to making that match day experience all the more better for women, and therefore everyone, by making it safer. Because unfortunately, my experience of a match day is probably quite different to you guys' experience of a match day. So we very much are Tottenham Hotspur supporters. It's not that we don't support the women's team. We absolutely do. And I know we'll talk about them in a minute as well. But it's that my experience of going to see the men play is very different to when I go and see the women play.
Has it improved, though, over the years, or is it still not particularly good?
I mean, I think it depends on the day, to be honest, because sometimes I worry that it's actually got worse.
Really?
So, hate to break it to you. But yeah, so, and obviously that's not unique to Spurs fans. And I also know lots of lovely Spurs fans, including the ones in front of me now. So hashtag not all men, but there are experiences that women face. And also, this isn't just about in the ground. It's about travelling to the ground. Right. It's about watching the football in a pub. It's about that whole experience as a woman who is a football fan of men's football specifically. Mm-hmm. So it's about trying to improve that experience for, first and foremost, for women fans of the men's team, but also just to work with clubs across the Premier League and the wider sort of football pyramid to try and eradicate that misogyny and sexism that we know, unfortunately, does very much seep into football. Yeah. So, yeah, really excited to get it launched on International Women's Day. Obviously felt like the perfect day to launch it. And we've got some exciting stuff planned.
How do people join it? How do you go about joining it?
So everyone, men and women, are welcome to follow us on our social channels. So we're at Women of the Lane on Instagram and X. But in terms of membership for the actual group, at the moment that is only open to women and non-binary people, primarily for reasons of safety. And that's just why we get ourselves established and set up and create that real kind of group and get our mission going. I can't rule out that we won't have maybe some male allies in the future, but at the moment that membership is very purposefully and very importantly directed and open to just women and non-binary individuals.
Because, you know, I don't want to get too heavy now, but you mentioned that, but to really eradicate sexism and misogyny, you need men to call it out. So when blokes are in the pub and someone makes a joke that most men will probably just go laugh or not laugh, you need men to go, actually, nah, that's not on.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And that active male allyship is really important to us. And that's why, as I say, I would very much welcome men to follow our social channels, because then you can see what we're up to and you can help support us in that way. It's just at the moment that membership is only open to women and non-binary people.
And is the idea to sort of go to away games, home games, viewings together? What do you think you'll be doing as a group?
Yeah, exactly. It's about that. It's a community, isn't it? It's about building a community, similarly to how the other official fan associations, supporters associations operate. It's about hopefully getting groups of women together that can sit together in the stadium as well, because that makes a big difference to women who travel to games alone. I've done that myself as well and not had the best experience in the stands as a woman by myself. And it's also, you know, about organising watch parties. So if it's away games that for whatever reason, you know, there's millions of women who support Tottenham Hotspur, so they won't all be based in this country. So it's about getting maybe some online watch parties together, maybe some watch parties in local pubs, getting groups, maybe getting some minibuses together to get us to away games. We've got lots of exciting things that we'd like to do, but we're also very much, it's a collective. So, you know, the seven of us have founded it, but it is about the whole group. So once we've got that kind of membership in place as well, then we'll very much be speaking to the women who are members to see what they'd like to do with it as well.
Amazing. Well, best of luck. It sounds absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. Brian, that's the good. Let's talk about the bad of our club. It was announced this week that next season, for season ticket holders, prices were going up 6%, yes. Which I think most fans kind of knew was going to happen. It's been a while since they've gone up. Other teams have put it up the same amount. But then it was announced that if you're a senior citizen, for those of you who haven't got season tickets and maybe don't go to games, there's certain places in the ground where you, if you're a senior citizen, you can get a concessionary season ticket.
The South Stand, particularly.
I believe the senior citizen match day, just for one ticket, that's unaffected. But the real loyal fans that have probably had a season ticket for many, many years, and we know many, many people who are coming up to that retirement age thinking, finally, if I'm sitting there, I might get money off. They basically said, it's gone up by fourfold. We are phasing it out over the next few years. And I think by 2029, you will be paying about 25% more for that same seat. Yeah. There's been a huge backlash, mainly spearheaded by the Tottenham Hotspur Supporters Trust, who are very, and rightly so, very upset about it. They're urging everyone, if you follow their social media, to write to the club. Rather than do the typical Tottenham thing of just tutting and getting on with it, just go, no, let's, you know, because the club have made U-turns before on quite a few things. And for the extra money the club making, it really is peanuts. I know some people out there, oh, it's a business, you're going to make money. Bollocks. It means absolutely nothing, this extra money. The club make per match an obscene amount of money in tickets. I think it's like 4.8 million for match tickets, food and drink. The money they'll be saving from these pockets of seats, it's ridiculous. I mean, I assume you agree with me, Brian.
It's a great idea. Apparently, we're the highest earning club in Europe.
Right.
And so, yes, they could afford to swallow some of that for the sake of...
Which would be great PR as well, to say we're under huge pressure to do this, but we appreciate your long-term support and loyalty. We know how difficult it's been over the years. They could have made a great PR exercise.
The knock-on is actually... it's bad for the pensioners. Mm. And I struggled myself, you know, to find the money for... You know, it's a lot
sure,
to find in one go.
That said,
We haven't put it up for like 5 or 6 years. He nearly did last at the beginning of last season and then recanted at the last second. And there was something happened that he froze prices yet again. So this hike in the prices is probably way overdue anyway. And I think for the sake of 6%, I think you have to swallow it, really. Mm. But this business with the pensioners is bad news, especially when you think about the long-term thing. You know, I think we may have talked about this in the past, about the fact that probably you and I and my kids and all, they go the result of fathers take sons and daughters to their matches, and they want to be...
What have we done to them? Well, we've ruined their lives.
I know. If I'd have taken my kid to the hybrid,
unbelievable.
God knows how much by now, but he's there going to be a gooner, which is like a genetic problem, really. But never mind, let's not go into that. The fact is that the next generation are not going to be able to afford two tickets or three tickets or four tickets if you have a large family. I used to rotate my kid taking them. I can't afford to do that now. Yeah. I mean, now Joe, my middle son's got the ticket that was originally rotated between my boys. Mm. And he, luckily, he's earning a decent salary and can afford to renew it. But he's now thinking about his kid. He wants his kid to be able to sit with him, and he can't.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I mean, my ticket's what? It's like £75 per game.
For the actual ticket. Yeah, mine's about £69 or something
like that. And then you add in a hot dog, add in your parking, and you're over £100.
Because the other thing is what she talked about. I go with my daughter. I sit in the West Stand because we've always been there.
Of course.
My daughter, who's 12, I have to pay a full price ticket.
Yes.
Because where I sit,
there's no concession.
I didn't want to move behind the goal. Because yeah. I'm a purist and I have to be on the side and see the whole game. Can't be behind the goal. So I have to pay full whack for her.
There's a guy called...
And I literally drag her along.
There's a guy called Andy Kaplan sat with us.
Here's my phone. Here's some crisps. Here's some chocolate.
That's it.
You know.
I mean, there used to be a guy called... There's a guy called Andy. There's still a guy called Andy.
I know Andy. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you know Andy. He used to sit with us in that group. Yeah. Yeah. He took it, started taking his son. I haven't seen Andy for a year and a half.
Yeah,
he's off there somewhere.
Yes,
we talk on WhatsApp.
Can I play slightly devil's advocate here?
Sure.
Just to be now, not in terms of prices generally, because the points you make are absolutely right about how expensive it is to go and see Spurs, and that's not my point. I have a view that largely in our society, and I'm saying this as someone who's approaching that age too.
Oh, well, you're way off. You've got 25 years?
At least mine. Yeah, yeah. As long as we're counting them in leap years only. I think that pensioners in our society, older people, and I look around at Spurs, get a pretty good deal, frankly, and are more likely to be able to afford it than people under the age of 30 who've got a lot of other expenses in their life. And you're talking about the people with kids as well, like you're saying with your daughter. So there's a general point about, is football affordable for people? That's a bigger question. But in terms of senior citizens, I'm not that sympathetic, if I'm honest, even though I'm at that end of the scale, because it's just a traditional thing. I am old enough to know that when I was a kid going to Spurs, you just paid kids' prices to get in the ground come what may, right? It was cheap. And so kids could just go to football by themselves. It's young people coming into football that I think is more of a concern than old people, most of whom at Spurs can afford a season ticket.
Do you think so? I mean, I know you're saying that, and I think there's a bit of a generalisation that senior citizens who are Tottenham fans are wealthy. I know loads who come in from outside London, Essex, Kent, they're not. This is their one thing that's still, you know, getting them out of the house every couple of weeks to do it. They're jumping on the trains. The trains are extortionate prices as well. Why do it? I don't, unless they're going to do a means test and actually see what people earn and what people got in savings. I just think, just don't do it. It leaves such a bad taste in the mouth.
No, that may be true, but I think that's no more true of the senior citizen population at Spurs than any other age group population at Spurs. There's a mix of people, some of whom find it easy, some of whom find it hard. That's absolutely true. I mean, you know, you get a senior citizen's rail card, you save a load of money on the train. Mm-hmm. But I just think that broadly speaking, it must be very tough if you're someone who's got a big mortgage, kids, and you're in, you know, for many people younger, frankly, I would think it's at least as hard, if not harder. So I'm slightly devil's advocate on this. I think generally in society, we look after the old codgers and we neglect the young people. That's my view as an approaching old codgerdom.
Okay, fair enough. We are a broad church. Everyone has an opinion. Right, let's move on. We're going to talk about, obviously, the game coming up against Fulham shortly. But very quickly, there was a great game last night, this afternoon, which I watched with relish. For those of you who don't follow the women's team, really do. They've really come on leaps and bounds. They face Manchester City, again, like the men's team, one of the wealthiest teams in the country. We really struggled. I think we lost 7-0 to them earlier this season, or something awful. They'd already did us in the other cup 1-0. We went a goal down very early on, and it looked like we're going to lose again 1-0. Bit lucky with the goal, bit of a mix-up at the back. Beth England scored, put it in. And then in extra time, we were absolutely the better team, lots of chances. And it went to penalties, and honestly, it was extraordinary. Becky Spencer, two great saves. And we are in the semi-finals. Ali, did you manage to watch it?
I didn't, unfortunately. I was celebrating my mum.
Of course. Yes, I suppose it was Mother's
but
Day.
But I did. I was following. I know. I was the bad child in the meal table because I kept checking my phone first to see how the men were finishing their game.
Yes, of course.
And then
yes.
to see how the women were getting on. But I did, so I did stay on top of the score with the women. And I've got to be honest, like when they went 1-0 down really early on, I was waiting for 2, 3, 4 to come through. But glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur and Becky Spencer. Let's just have a moment for her because they were phenomenal saves.
They weren't just slow, you know, she's standing there and hits it. They were like two penalties right in the corner. She guessed right and really
particularly
got
the one from Chloe Kelly, because Chloe Kelly packs a punch with her penalties, like quite famously so. They measured the speed of her penalties and they are fierce. So even if you guess, because there's been other goalkeepers that have guessed the right way and gone the right way, but the power, you just can't stop the ball. So that save in particular was excellent. But yeah, really like history made. So really excited that they've got through to the semis and hopefully they can go all the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's obviously some big teams in there, but you never know. It would be absolutely wonderful if they can go on and do that. Brian, let's turn our attentions now to the next game at the weekend. Fulham away. They've had a bit of a strange season. They started very, very well, Fulham. Looked very, very exciting. And now they're a bit sort of hot and cold. And
that's the worst sort of team to play. you don't know who's going to come out, do you? That's the problem. I mean, don't underestimate them at your peril, I would say. But I don't think that's likely at the moment. Every game now, what is there, 10 or 11 games, something like that left?
Yeah.
I mean, every game's a cup final now. We have to look at maximum points for every single match.
And it's in our hands. If we win all our games, we get into the Champions League, which should be an incredible feat. From the doom and gloom when Harry Kane left.
Extraordinary in a first season with a team that's been assembled in the close season, more or less.
Pretty much.
Extraordinary.
You can chip in.
Well, I was going to say, what's interesting, if you look at the run of matches coming up, so we've got four matches which we need to win, and actually, when we come on to predictions, I'm going to predict that we are going to win because I think we're about to go on a fantastic run. And then we've got the top three in a row.
The City game will probably be rearranged, though, if they get to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Fair enough. That will be another one that will be moved.
So just Arsenal and Liverpool, then?
Yeah.
That's going to be amazing. So
Let's stop both of them winning the title. That would be
it's like a ramp, isn't it? We're going to ramp it up for these four, and then we're going to be at peak for the big games. And Madison is going to reach his absolute, he's going to be back to full strength Madison by then.
Yeah.
These four, I think we're going to win the next four. So.
Yeah, no, I think, Ali, I mean, you know, the way we're playing, surely if we play anything like we did against Villa with this confidence, going to Craven Cottage, it's a game we should win.
Yeah, I agree with Brian in that, like, it is a tricky one because they've been so hit and miss. And they've actually had some really, when they've had good results, they've been really good results.
Yeah, they've been top sides.
Yeah, so, but and I know Villa had a player sent off, blah, blah, blah. But I do just think we were so convincing against Villa that it has given me about as much hope as a Spurs fan can have at any given time. That I agree. I think we are going to go on a little bit of a run. And do you want my prediction yet? Or are you going to round that up in a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want my prediction yet, Mike?
No, let's wait. Let's wait for the prediction. before we have your predictions, we've had many sort of supporters groups around the world publicised on this show. And Russell Goldsmith, friend of the show, was out to interview Austin, Texas Spurs before the game. So here is an interview he's done with Austin Spurs and some wonderful audio here of them watching the game at the weekend. Apologies, maybe put the kids somewhere else, a bit of swearing as the game goes on. So have a listen now to Russell Goldsmith now with Austin Spurs.
Hi, this is Russell Goldsmith reporting for the Spurs Show in Austin, Texas. Last season, I hosted a special episode of the podcast from Las Vegas, where we interviewed the Las Vegas Spurs supporters group. And so this year, it's the turn of the Austin Spurs group. I'm here in Austin with the Spurs Show's audio producer, Leon, where we're recording my own C-suite podcast at the big South by Southwest event. So if you want to find out what's happening in the world of business here, please do give that a listen. I thought I'd get a plug in early. We arrived here late last night. It's now 7:30 in the morning on Sunday morning. We've come to the Mr. Tramps Sports Bar. Thanks very much. And a big shout out to Travis, who has opened up early to let us in and record the show before kickoff. We're here to watch Spurs against Aston Villa. It's a massive game in the race for that fourth place and guaranteed Champions League football for next season. And I'm here with two of the Austin Spurs stalwarts, Kevin Beekler and Bryce Cathcart. Welcome, gents. Welcome to the Spurs podcast.
Thanks for having us. Welcome to town.
Thrilled to see you, man.
Thank you. And first of all, thank you for your hospitality and inviting us along here. Kevin, let's start with you. Tell us about the group.
Sure. So it's been around since 2012. Started with a very small group of folks here at Tramps. Always been home here. Founded by, lucky enough, Chuck Hoffman, who is our president, is also the international supporter club. First one on the fans, the Fab this year. So really active group. We'll have anyone between, you know, 50 for a normal match to we got up to 200 for one of the derbies. So it's a blast, a lot of fun, very Austin. A lot of different folks, a lot of characters. Great place to watch a match.
And when did you join?
So I've been here since 2017.
And Bryce, how about you?
Yeah, same, 17, 18, or maybe 18, 19 season really started coming to Tramps here.
And how did you find out about it?
So I played football and was a coach a long time, and then right around, well, when did NBC start covering it? 2012 or something. Mm-hmm. They started having TV, so my son started getting into it. And my son, unfortunately, or fortunately, tried to look at teams like the American teams that we follow. So we follow every New York team that doesn't win. So he looked for one of the London team. Started playing Spurs on FIFA, and then when we went to we had a tour of the lane. And in the old supporters or the old trophy room supporters section, they had someone with an Austin Spurs standing there with an Austin Spurs scarf. So got in touch with Chuck, and it's been one of the most wonderful Austin relationships for the last 7-8 years.
I mean, picking a team that doesn't win, you certainly picked the right one.
Oh, yeah. We're used to it. It's what do they say? The hope that kills you, but it's also it's much better to suffer with your friends and celebrate sometimes. So yeah. Bryce and I can suffer a lot together.
We definitely do.
Bryce, how about yourself? What brought you here?
I've been watching since, I guess, the 17-18 season. My brother-in-law started watching Spurs, and then I got kind of hooked, and then I just found the group on Instagram, or maybe Twitter, I guess, actually, it was back then. And so came in and everybody welcomed me with open arms. And if you've met Chuck, you know, he's your best friend right out of the gate.
And he'll put you to work.
Put you to work. Yeah.
And tell us, you've got quite a few people on your mailing list, haven't you? How many actually involved in the group then?
I think there's
600 from last Chuck told me. Yeah. Yep. So there's a big group. I mean, we did a Pochtoberfest, a big event a couple years ago.
What's that? A Pochtober?
Pochtoberfest. Yeah. Back when Poch was coaching, and so people from all over the U.S. came in here. There had to have been 300 plus at least overflowing into the parking lot.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Austin's a destination city. There's a lot. So it's been we're always lucky enough to be able to host a lot of folks coming in from other places. And because of that, when we travel, you know, I think I've been to 13 different supporter groups now, and it's always the same. You know, everyone's got a bar. Maybe not quite like Tramps, but lucky enough to have it, and it's you're just home, right? Immediately welcomed in.
I think pretty much every game that I've been to here, there's been somebody from, whether it's a U.S. supporters group or abroad. We've had quite a few folks from London in.
Right.
Always somebody bouncing around.
Yeah. You launched in 2012, as you said. When did it actually become officially recognized by the club?
That's a great question. I think it was in 2012.
Oh, okay.
I think it was... I think the one thing that we are is diligent about making sure the paperwork's filled out. But on the official site, it says since 2012. So
right, yeah. And Chuck, obviously you mentioned before, who kind of like runs it. Yeah. Unfortunately, he couldn't be with us this weekend. Is he away this weekend?
He's camping. Chuck right. is a school administrator, right. So it's spring break here.
Okay. But I was going to say, now I know you mentioned, because obviously we chatted before I came out here, mm-hmm. he was elected to the International Fan Advisory Board, is that
right? He is, yes.
So what does that all involve?
So this was the first year of the Fan Advisory Board. It's the official...
With the club.
Right. Yeah, with the club. So that's why the first podcast I listened to y'all with, you had Chris from Proud Lilywhites, and she's a member of it, the season tickets, won Hotspur. So, you know, one of the things that we've been really lucky as a club is to help other clubs set up. You know, 2012 doesn't seem that long ago, but in the States, especially since TV coverage is picking up, I think there's something like over 40 clubs worldwide that Chuck has helped set up. Yeah. And so this was the first year of an election on it, and he represents all of the...
international supporter groups.
Yeah, and when we were over there for the Wolves match, one of the reasons we went over, we have 15 people for us, there was around 60, but Chuck had a board meeting. So. Yeah. You know, having that, not only having the community, but also having, you know, the international representative be part of our club is, yeah. You know, we know how lucky we are. And Chuck definitely, like, he's a legend, definitely earned it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and it was great. The club even did a international group kind of happy hour at the stadium on Friday. And there had to have been, 100 people there at least?
At least, yeah.
Michael, that's when Dawson and Sandro were there.
Right,
and,
okay.
The club yep. catered and drinks, and it was fantastic. Yeah, and I know they're going to do more of those. I think this was the third one that they've mm-hmm. done. It started this year, and it was one of Chuck's kind of initiatives that yep. he was trying to get them to do. Yep. And it's been a great success, and I think they're going to continue that.
Mm-hmm. Right. You talked about number of people on your mailing list and people coming through. How often do you get people like myself reaching out to you directly to say, hey, I'm in town? Can I kind of come watch?
I think all the time with right. Chuck. He's very open on email and kind of, he's a great networker. So he'll put people in touch, even yeah. if he's not going to be in town. He'll text 5 or 6 different people and say, hey, so and so is coming in, buy him a beer, or, you know, whatever it may be.
Right.
So I think it's very often that there's good communication between groups coming yeah. in.
Fantastic. The club does a very good job of promoting on the website. If you look at the supporters group, like as I said, I think it's been 12 or 13 for me.
Yeah.
Every one of them, just go on the site, and there's going to be the contact of the chairperson, going to let you know where the place they meet is. And so we get a lot of folks who will hit us up on Twitter and just say, looking to watch a match.
Yeah, the supporter groups are very active on Twitter, yep. And all the kind of heads of each group are very, very good about reaching out. Mm-hmm.
I suppose we should get on to talk about the game. We're here to watch the Villa game, obviously. The team news is in. I've got it on my phone here. And there's a couple of changes. So Porro's back.
Good to hear.
And he's brought Johnson starting in place of Werner. So, what's your thoughts on that starting team? Bryce, what do you think?
That's an interesting move, bringing Johnson in first. You know, he's come in at that 65-70 minute mark the last couple weeks and really made an impact. But I think Werner can do the same. Bringing in fresh legs off the bench. But it'll be interesting to see how he starts the game instead of coming on.
Yeah. Kevin, having Porro back in the team. And also, Sarr starting as well. So
yeah, I love the fact that Udogi and Porro, I mean, it's just so different when both of them are playing together. And, you know, I love that Sarr is in there. I'm a little concerned because I do think, you know, you look at the physicality that Villa's going to bring in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
Problems we had when we were there watching Wolves, and it's the same thing that McGinn and...
Sarr's been battling a little back injury too, I heard, correct?
Yeah.
So yeah, with it being so physical today, we'll see how he does.
But it's definitely not a passive lineup. I love the fact that they're going to go at it. It should be a lot of fun.
The attack should be a little better this week. You know, Emerson was great in the defensive role, but that attacking third, he doesn't bring what Porro does. Yeah. So I'll be anxious to see how the front line does with him.
Now, you just mentioned Matty Cash there, Kevin. Are we going to expect Romero to do one on him?
I think he should be really. We were talking before. It's going to be really interesting after the Bentancur one.
That's right.
No yellow cards yet this season, that may change today.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I mean, it's funny because on TikTok, I just keep seeing that same kind of, there's a little video going with, and you see the Bentancur tackle, and then you see the eyes of Romero.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
standing on the sidelines.
Yeah, yeah. Romero's on the bench too, right?
Yeah.
Voldemort type eyes going. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, listen, we're going to catch up at halftime. So enjoy the game. And come on, you Spurs.
Brilliant.
Come on,
you Spurs. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah.
He's way off. Way off. Put the flag up. Put the fucking flag up.
Why is he passing?
Do you think?
Get a fucking shot on goal. God damn it.
out of your element here, huh? Yeah, right.
Okay, we are back at Mr. Tramps. It's half-time. It's 0-0. It's a good game, but, Kevin, no shots yet.
Yeah, it's a team. Same thing. A lot of play in the middle of the field. A lot of joy going down the side with Udogie and Johnson. But seem a little passive, and you know, I do think they missed Richarlison, missed someone strong in the middle. And I'd like to see what Werner can do. Yeah. I think that little bit of experience and just some little bit of daring and doing, some courage, yeah, get some shots.
And we were talking about it. You know, I think I like Johnson better on the right-hand side. And so I think Werner should have probably started the game on the left, and then Johnson come in at the 65-minute mark.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, we're going to get someone else on the show now. Someone very important to Mr. Tramps.
Absolute
Kevin, do you want to introduce?
Be happy to. So, y'all, you don't get a lot of times watching football in America. It could be 6:30 in the morning, 7. The most important person is the one who lets us in the door, hosts us. And in this case, Spurs fan as well. So, Travis, absolute legend.
Thank you, boys.
Travis,
glad
welcome.
To be here.
Welcome
good
to
morning,
the Spurs show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Across the pond as well.
Absolutely. Now, we'll have to share some pictures on the Twitter feed and everything, because there are Spurs flags, Spurs posters. You're in a Spurs shirt.
Of course.
We're in Austin. Tell us the story. What's going on?
Well, I guess it's about 2012. A buddy of mine, Jeff Ellis, he went across the pond, watched Spurs around 2009, fell in love. We're roommates. And he goes, hey, you want to go to the pub? I go, for what? He goes, we're going to watch this match. My favorite team. I go, okay, what time? He goes, 8 a.m. I go, fuck that. He goes, but you know you can drink pints, right? And I go, all right, you sold me on that. Let's go. So I go in, have a pint, eat a full English, look around, and start watching this kid named Gareth Bale. I go, this kid's amazing. Prodigy. And I fell in love with the Spurs and all the people that were with us. Like, we'd have 110 people in here going crazy for the smallest match, and that was what brought my heart to it. So I'm a Spurs fan since then, and probably till I die.
But how, this isn't your bar, is it?
It's not.
So how have you convinced your boss to let you have all this Spurs, you know?
Well, half of it's mine. Everything. The other half is, that's April's, and that's Jeff's. So
folks that have been coming around.
Yeah, coming around. And then anybody that comes, you know, the transplants, they bring a scarf for us. We'll throw it up.
But this isn't just put up for the game. This is all year.
This is a Spurs bar. You come in here, say an Arsenal fan walks in here. He goes, I want to put on the Gunners. I go, no, you ain't. Sorry, man.
That's what we want to
hit. Jug on, you know?
So. That's fantastic.
But the owner loves Spurs. Brandon's great. You know, we were doing it with Alfredo when the old owner had it.
Second generation.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to keep it that way.
Well, listen, anyone who is visiting Austin that wants to come and see Spurs, how do they find you guys? Just give us a shout out to where
you just go to MrTramps.org or just go on Google, type in Austin Soccer Pub. We're the number one. We were the first one, and we'll be the last one, too. I'll tell you that.
Good stuff. Well, listen, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you, guys. Good to have you all.
Love you, man. Thank you.
Time here at Mr. Tramps. What a second half. Kevin, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man. So the difference, we talked about it at half, the difference of really putting the pressure in the middle of the pitch, right? Taking shots, but I think the most excited, watching Sarr, like, that kid is going to be so good.
Yeah.
The difference he makes, that pass on the first goal and the finish by Madison,
yeah.
Like, just brilliant.
Yeah.
Bryce, before I come to you, I'm going to keep the mics open. I'm loving the music.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you can hear it on the podcast. Bryce, thoughts on those four goals?
You know, it's nice to see him put some shots on goal in the second half after not really doing much in the first half. And having Werner get that goal, I think, is huge for his confidence. Yeah. And, you know, I was a little concerned with him not starting. But Ange knew what he was doing, apparently. So,
Well, listen, I mentioned to you when I was at the Vegas game and it was a 2-0 defeat at home to Newcastle. This has certainly been a much more pleasant experience spending the morning with you guys.
With the win, huh?
Hey, what's that round thing that was by Villas? I heard there's something called the clean sheet. Is that what it means? Like, it seemed like it's been forever. But what a great job by the
Definitely.
Dragusin coming in.
Yeah.
Like, just a brilliant job by the defense against
It was seamless, him transitioning into the team. And Vic, again, had a great game. I mean, just great job all the way around.
Y'all are invited back.
Listen, what's your thoughts for the remainder of the season, Kevin?
I am so excited to see, again, be here. But there's a feel, there's a signature. They're going to play in a way that we're going to get excited about. And I think more than the rest of the season, I'm so excited about next. And knowing that we have...
You know, that's huge. I feel like in games where we've had chance to go into the top four in the past, we've really kind of, not done the job. And today to go up against Villa and to put it to them is huge. Gives them some confidence going into the rest of the season.
Good stuff. We're going to have to finish up. We're going to wrap things up. It's been an absolute pleasure spending the morning with you guys. Bryce, if any of our listeners want to find out more about the Austin Spurs, how to get hold of you if they're in town, what do they need to do?
Just Austin Spurs on Twitter and Instagram. Reach out to Chuck, austinspurs@gmail.com if you want to reach out and see where we're going to be at. But Chuck's really good about syncing people up, even if he's not in town, as y'all have seen.
And we challenge anyone listening to the pod who may not have a supporters group.
Yeah.
There are Spurs fans all around. Go to the site, there's a supporters site on Tottenham's, which will give you the list of all your local ones. Yeah. Find some folks to watch the match, because this is the best part of our week.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Listen, guys, Kevin and Bryce, thank you so much for your hospitality, for the food that the guys have given us here and the drinks. And it's been an absolutely brilliant morning to see us win. I've been Russell Goldsmith and Austin for the Spurs Show. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
And there we are. Thank you very much, Russell, for that. That was great fun. Right, let's have predictions now for the game against Fulham. Brian, give us your prediction.
Tottenham to win 2-3-1.
Ooh.
And I think
Fulham, you've been drinking something in the break.
Fulham just start the scoring and Tottenham come back.
3-1. Okay. Ali?
Well, we didn't share notes before we joined the call, but I agree completely with Brian. I think Fulham will score
first. My new best friend.
Yeah. I think Fulham will score first, but I think we'll win 2-1, I'm going to go with. But, you know, waiting for Spurs to prove us completely wrong and beat them 6-0, I'd also take that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Quite right. Stuart, Mr. Doom and Gloom.
I'm not doom and gloom. I'm devil's advocate. I'm Mr. Devil's advocate.
If you're a pensioner, don't sit next to Stuart there on the weekend. My God.
Yeah,
he's going to be pushing you out the seats.
Saying, get out.
It's a long drop from where I'm.
Yeah. Get the young people in.
Straight in the river.
You've had your time. You've had your misery time. Exactly. They've had a lot of misery for themselves. They've got some years of misery. But I'm obviously not one of the mates of the other two, clearly. Although, I was going to go 3-1-2. I'm very confident. I mean, if we beat Villa 4-0 away, I mean, every Premiership game, except perhaps Sheffield United, is tricky. But we should beat Fulham easily, I think. So I was going to go 3-1. I'll go 4-1 just to be different. But 3-1 is what I really think is going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to go 2-0 and another clean sheet. So let's see next week if any of us have got it right. Right, I think we pretty much covered everything. Well done, everyone. That's it. Don't forget, next week, as I said, next Monday, Theo will be here in the seat. And then next Wednesday week, we will all be at the Leicester Square Theatre with Mr. Paul Gascoigne. It's going to be a brilliant night. Some people I know have been to some of his theatre shows and sort of said he's got his set routine. No. We set the questions. We've got it right. We've got a wonderful Tottenham montage that our friend Basil in Australia has put together. It's taken him hours and hours of dedication and research. It's going to be a great night. There'll be music there. There's a Q&A in the second half, so you can ask Gazza a question. And there's still a chance to get the ticket, to have your photo taken with him, and also get a signed replica 1991 Spurs shirt, not official merchandise. I hasten to add, but a pretty good copy. I wasn't going to lay out 60 quid for the shirts I had to buy, but there we are. But it'll be a beautiful thing because you'll have two Dave or whatever, Paul Gascoigne.
You could buy a pensioner's ticket for that money.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. So if you're...
Are you offering pensioner concessions for the Gazza match, Mike?
There we are. I should have done concessionary rates. Exactly. I should have done. With a free bowl of soup as well for any old people with no teeth. That would have been nice.
And the
slurping the soup behind you. But it's going to be a great night. Where's the 20th? Any of you, if you're free, go and click on the link. Get tickets. We'll see you there next Wednesday. Ali, thank you so much for coming on again. It's always great to get your insight on Tottenham. Good luck with the new supporters group. Brian, any things in the pipeline?
I have interesting stuff happening with a mini series that, well, not a mini series, a macro series, a big drama pilot I've written has some interesting places. Is all Fantastic. I'm prepared to say.
Lovely. Well, good luck with that, Stuart. You got anything coming up you'd like to plug?
Yeah, well, I mean, not quite as interesting as that, but the book I've written, which is on trust, how you lead and sell with trust in business, being published by The Economist next year. And I do consulting and,
Very nice.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. I do consulting and coaching, particularly with professional firms. So any accountants, lawyers from reasonable sized firms listening think we need to have much higher quality relationships with our clients, build on trust. Look me up on the website.
Well, there you are, a book on the economy. No special rate if you're Sunni citizen. You pay the same price. There we are. Thank you so much, everyone at home. Thank you so much, everyone here. Hope you've enjoyed listening to us. We'll be back next week. Until then, go Spurs!
Go Spurs!
Go Spurs!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.